So good to see you all and so good to hear about those things going on. I know my wife, who's serving in Croatia this morning, is really excited about that evening for the women and looking forward to being there. And so I do hope that's a great time for you all. And I want to say how excited I am too, even as we come to the end of our mini-series in this looking at the Psalms and worship, how excited I am about next week as we begin a series in Revelation and we think about our future. Also next week is our Leaders' Day, and I want to say one of the reasons we have it on a Sunday is so that the really important part in the morning when I share just where we're at as a church and where God's leading us and what we're about, that part, which we felt sometimes when we've had a Leaders' Day on a Saturday, we felt that would be really great for the whole church to hear. We have it on a Sunday so that everyone can hear that. So next week, Sunday morning, it's a really important morning. Please come. You're welcome. And come ready to just hear the things that God's been putting on my heart and on our heart as leaders as we look at this time and the needs in our city and what God's doing in the church. But you know, too, we really honor our leaders. If you're leading in any way in the church and if you're helping, maybe you're an assistant leader or an emerging leader, we really honor you for all you do. We could not do all we do as a church without you. That's why we're putting on this lunch. That's why we've got Archie to come and share something that God's been stirring in our hearts for a while about not just reaching the poor in the nations, but reaching the poor in Brighton and Hove. He's going to be coming and sharing that to inspire and challenge our leaders. And you know, if you've been invited to that lunch in that afternoon, hey, we'd love you to be there, but we'd love you to tell us you're going to be there as well. Could you do that? That would be really great. We want to honor you, but it would really honor our administrative team just doing the stuff behind the scenes. So let Sue know whether you're coming or not. That would really be great. And I'm looking forward so much to that day and all that God's going to be saying and doing. Well, should we turn to the Psalms? And once again, thanks for just the band and the PA and those who helped lead us in our worship as we've been thinking about this. And this has been a really neat kind of mini-series. Thanks, Tim, for that sort of heart and idea of putting this together. And it's great to be reading the Psalms. I myself love reading the Psalms every day. It's one of the things I just turn to. It's the first thing I do in my Bible reading because it's the bit that just helps me in my own kind of worship and prayer life. And This is one of my favorite psalms. I have quite a few favorite psalms, I have to say, but this is one of them. Psalm 84, and it's page 595 in the Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, it might help you. And I know, like Pete and others, have been bringing around Bibles. 595, Psalm 84. And there's a little note at the top, which can sometimes be helpful. It just says, for the director of music, according to a Gittith, which is probably a musical term, so this was probably a song, of the sons of Korah. They're the guys who used to help write music for the temple worship. A psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. It's got that little sailor there like it had earlier. It's just that sense of pausing. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So Lord, we want to come, and in our own situations, we want to come and say we want to turn to you, to trust you even now. Lord, we need your help. I ask for your help for us, for me. But Lord, we do look beyond that, and even as we've been in our service thinking and praying for the world, Lord, I want to pray specifically right now, Lord, for just this week, which is a big week for our nation, Lord. We pray for Scotland, for our brothers and sisters there, some of whom are probably wondering what things are going to be like in the future, and Lord, how things will go on Thursday with that referendum. And Lord, we simply come and ask, your will be done. Lord, you're over it all. Lord, you're the King of all kings. And we pray, would you rule and reign? And God, we even pray that through this, people there in Scotland, even for us, we'd be turning to you and thinking of you and seeking after you. Thank you that you hold the future. And Lord, we pray particularly as well for that situation in Iraq. We pray, God, that you would stay the hand of wicked men. God, have mercy, we pray. Lord, just hearing that news this morning of this British hostage killed, God, we pray for his family, his friends. God, have mercy. And Lord, as we look at our broken world, we pray, God, meet with us now. Help us. Help us hear from you and meet with you. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why go to church? That's the question I just want to start with this morning. It might seem, when you think about the big things going on in the world, that, what does it matter? Well, actually, why go to church? You're all here, so you've probably thought a bit about it. And, there are actually some great reasons for going to church, a ton of them. Do you know that studies show that it helps your health if you go to church? Even just a simple thing like we've been doing of gathering together to sing our little surgery, Brunswick Surgery, just around the corner here. It actually puts on singing times for their patients because studies have shown that just singing together improves your health. So there you go. One just very simple reason. But I imagine you maybe came for a bit more than that. Maybe you've come because you're kind of hoping that You'll find a place of belonging. And again, that's a wonderful thing to come for. This is what we desire to be, an extended family that helps one another and the different generations and nationalities coming together. And a wonderful picture of how in our broken world where nations are all kind of trying to divide or fight one another, or actually we can come together and say, no, there's something that we can do for good together. And not just to find a place to belong, but a place to then go and reach out and be a blessing. Again, fantastic reason to come. Welcome. Join us. Maybe you've come because you're hoping you'll kind of meet someone, even someone a bit special. I remember those days of coming to church like that. Actually, if you've come for Steve and Caroline's special 25th wedding anniversary, and we're going to do a blessing at 1 o'clock later, and there's some cupcakes for those kind of staying on over teas and coffees because of that. But I think I asked Stephen Caroline, you guys met in church, didn't you? Not this church, but somewhere else. Hey, you never know. Look around. It's not a bad reason to come, but could there even be a more amazing reason? Maybe you're thinking, well, I just came out of habit. Well, it's a good habit. What do we learn from Psalm 84? Perhaps you've come like the psalmist, seeking something. Seeking someone. Not just maybe a future spouse or others to be in community with, but seeking God, the living God. Maybe this is even your first time here, and you've come because you're wanting somehow to connect with God. That is the most wonderful and amazing reason to come to church. It's what I want to be doing today. Great to see you all. Great to be together. I want to come and meet with God. The psalmist says, how lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. He thinks God's presence is amazing. And I want to say there is nothing like the presence of God. There's nothing like knowing God's near. In fact, that little word, how lovely is your dwelling place, kind of almost feels like it doesn't do it justice. It's like God's dwelling place, being there where God is like this the most amazing thing. I mean, there's nothing like that, the sense of peace you get when you know that God's around. Peace, whatever the circumstances. There's nothing like the sense of kind of awe. The sense of security. I'm loved. I know I'm loved. It's funny that in the kind of presence of God, it feels like sometimes to just be crying or laughing or going, wow, all of them seem kind of amazingly appropriate. Because we're in the presence of the living and amazing God. The psalmist here, he's not just wanting to be where kind of in a place, in the dwelling place. He's actually, if you look at Psalm 84, he makes it very clear. My heart and my flesh are longing for the living God. He's not just longing for a place, he's longing for a person. He's longing for this God. And look how the psalmist refers to God in this psalm. There's a little phrase that he uses three or four times. And if you look at verse 1 and you look at verse 12 and then it's scattered through it as well, he calls God this. He says, "Oh Lord Almighty." I wonder when you're thinking of God, or maybe when you're praying, how do you refer to God, or how do you conceive God to be? He's so big and vast. There's loads of different ways you can look at him. But the psalmist here uses this phrase, "Oh Lord Almighty." It's literally means, "Oh Lord of hosts, the God of heaven's angel armies." And you know what? Even one angel is more powerful than any army of man. This is the God Almighty. Almighty means all powerful, or if you like in old language, omnipotent. And no one in the Bible is called Almighty except God. It's him alone. He's so great. Wow, to be in the presence of greatness like that, like greatness like no other. Amazing. I love the sort of stars and on these clear nights. It's been just great to just walk around and just, even though in Brighton Hove with all the light pollution, we only sometimes get a glimpse of some of the things. But I had a friend once who was studying in the same place as I, and he was doing a PhD on galaxy clusters. And do you know this is like galaxy, like our little sun is like one of these specks. And actually, when you look at the night sky, he told me, this galaxy's probably got about a few billion stars in it. But actually, some of the specks you see in the sky are not actually stars, they're galaxies. But some of them are not just galaxies, they are clusters of galaxies. And God made them. He's bigger than them. I mean, this is massive. We've come to meet with the living God, the God Almighty. I'm thinking as we're worshiping him, I'm thinking, this is not just maybe me doing me good as I sing. This is a right and good thing to do. We've come to say, God, you're amazing. What could be a better thing to do than that? And of course, as we come to him, the amazing thing is that he loves to come to us. And Tim was speaking about this last time, that as we seek after God, he seeks after us. So the psalmist here in Psalm 84, he's longing for the dwelling place of God. And that, boy, it's a good thing to do, to long for it, to seek after God. And particularly the psalmist, when he thinks of that, he's thinking about the temple in the time of the psalmist, probably some 4,000 or 3,000 years ago, about 1,000 years before the time of Christ. The temple was the place where God particularly kind of dwelt. But then, you know, as you read through the Bible, what we see is amazingly that God so longs to be with us, so longs to meet with us, that he leaves heaven. Christ comes to earth, God in human form, to make his dwelling among us. And you could say then that Jesus is the dwelling place of God. And then Jesus goes to the cross to again show his love for us, that he doesn't want there to be any barrier between us and God. He dies for the mess in our world and the mess in my life and yours so that we can be right with God. And then he rises again, ascends to heaven, and he sends his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to be in us so that we don't need to be far from God, that we can know God's presence with us individually. But again, in Scripture, there seems to be something that happens that God's Spirit loves, not just indwell believers, but as believers come together, his Spirit loves to come and be on them. One writer in the New Testament talks about like living stones being built together. We are like living stones built together where God's Spirit lives by His presence. And so, you know what we're doing this morning? This kind of fits with the psalmist, with that longing for the presence of God. But also when you're just at your desk tomorrow morning and you do that kind of upward glance and saying, God, I want you to be here in my desk. This psalm also could apply to that. But there's something wonderful here of longing for more of God in your life. And I was thinking about this and thinking, you know, it's great to long for it. And I could say to you guys, there's nothing like the presence of God, long for it. But you know what? I can't just tell you what your heart should be doing. Your heart is drawn to things. So I wonder this morning, what's your kind of heart drawn to? What are the things you long for? And we can look at the psalmist and say, wow, the psalmist seems to be longing for something big. And I know that all too often my heart is just kind of longing that the day would kind of go okay, or that, you know, there'd be a bit of peace and quiet at the end of it, or that there'd be, you're longing for a good kind of break or a holiday or maybe just some success at work, or maybe kind of a bit more money in the bank. What are you longing for? A lot of those things are not bad. They're just not as amazing as the living God. The God who loves us more than we can imagine, to yearn and long for more of Him. So really, my point here is you just I encourage you, get a bit of a taste of God through His Word, through coming on Sundays, coming here or another, many great churches in the city, and seek after God. Long for Him more. And the psalmist kind of has this intense desire, an entire desire. Look at verse 2. He says, my heart and my flesh cry out. It's an intensity to it, but there's also an entirety to it. Mind, body, soul. He's kind of physically involved, because of course we are. You know, when I'm longing for a meal, my stomach starts to rumble because I'm connected, you know. And when we're longing for God, we kind of move. We move to what you made it here. Fantastic. You moved. It's great. And sometimes when we're here, I love to see like Jemima and Cleo dancing around this morning as we were singing about dancing. And when I grew up in Africa, there's a bit more dancing in church, I have to say. But you know what? It's not just about the dancing or this. It's actually just that we're to be in our beings as a whole person, seeking after God. So the psalmist here, he's a physicality to it. And, I once had someone sort of explain to me something. Sometimes people, when they're kind of worshiping, they're kind of raising their hands or they're down on their faces. And just sometimes seeing how some of that stuff happened even way, way back in the early church or some of the reasons for it, I found quite helpful. It's not that we all need to do the same thing. There would be no point in that. As one great guy who helps lead our youth said, it's not about conformity, it's about unity. We're not all meant to be the same. Praise God, we're not all kind of carbon cutouts. But, the Bible, this is in the 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul is kind of urging men to pray. Sometimes men, we're the worst. We're a bit kind of, we can be a bit passive. And Paul the apostle says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. It's like, wow, it's interesting. Yeah, like Moses, like 4,000 years ago. Yeah, he had his hands raised in prayer, didn't he? There's a sense of he was reaching out to God. Now, Moses at times prayed without his hands raised, and I'm sure early church did as well, but something appropriate to that. In fact, one person told me once, he said, what's the international sign of surrender? Surrender, Johnny. Yeah. Actually, worship. If I'm coming to the Lord Almighty, that's kind of appropriate. Or, you know, the king, and he talks here, doesn't he? My God and my King, verse 3. Oh, Lord Almighty, my God and the King. Hey, kind of getting on your knees, kind of appropriate. Do you know, in the pews here, there used to be little kneeling cushions hanging on the back of all the pews. There used to probably be a time in the services, maybe 50 years ago, when everyone would have knelt down. Well, interesting, isn't it? Kind of is appropriate when you think we're coming to God. We got here thus far. Sometimes we just didn't quite make it. Now, of course, it doesn't not just about the kneeling or about the hand raising, or But in our hearts, in our beings, as we come to him, let's remember who he is. The Lord God Almighty, we've come to seek him and to long for him, not just in our heart, but in our very being, because there is no one like him. And you know, when Jesus is present, when we really do kind of seek him, you know, we realize that, I love this little quote here, I've just got to share it. It's Thomas Kempis, who he kind of so longed to be with God, he just used to press in prayer, and he said, when Jesus is present, all is well and nothing seems difficult, but when Jesus is absent, everything is hard. And that's not because life is sort of ceases to be hard when Jesus is around. It is still hard. There's lots of difficult things. But when he's present, it kind of gets perspective. When the one who died for me and rose again so that I could have the hope of eternity with him, when he comes and says, you know, I've got it all in my hands. Boy, it's amazing. So I really encourage you, long for more of this presence of God. And then I want to say this, though, that it's not always easy. I find that I have to really sometimes kind of work at it. I have to kind of do a bit like what the psalmist does. The psalmist here is going on a pilgrimage, a journey. He probably didn't live right next to the temple. In fact, he's envious of the sparrows that did. He's got to kind of journey it. And imagine in the Middle East, you know, he's going through kind of valleys and desert kind of places, and he's getting hot and bothered, and it's no cars, so he's walking and he's going on foot, and he's a pilgrim. It's a pilgrimage up to the temple, and he's probably thinking, you know what? You know, this is tough. I bet there were bits on the journey that were particularly difficult. Bits when you were maybe tempted to think, you know what? Maybe I'll go back. But his longing kept him going. But also, there was something else here we see in the psalm that kept him going. He says this, verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. Seems pretty much agreement that this valley of Baca is like a difficult valley. Or the word Baca apparently is a bit similar to the word of kind of weeping in Hebrew. And this sense that maybe this is the valley of weeping. I don't know, maybe weeping because it's difficult. When you think about our own trying to press into the presence of God, because we too sometimes have the journey, though it's more of an inward journey sometimes than an actual physical journey. I know that sometimes when I feel like I've failed, it can be like the valley of Baca, or when maybe you're grieving. You got bad news from the doctor, from your boss. Maybe you're just tired and weary. You kind of feel like you've been journeying a long time. Valley of tears, the valley of Baca. What does the psalmist say? He says that actually he's not the first person to have gone through the valley of Baca. He talks about others. He says this, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. That these guys who've gone through this valley before have actually either discovered springs or dug wells, or maybe even their tears have formed pools. It's a kind of picture of their tears forming pools. And I know that as I look back through history, I look back into the Bible, I look back into things like the Psalms, and even beyond that, I think of how in Job, when he goes through all such difficult things and difficult situations, he says this, blessed is the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You might recognize it. You know, we've had a song that Matt Redman wrote, and he now lives in the city, but he wrote it in the States after 9/11. He just was in churches, and the people there were struggling to find words for all that they felt after that terrorist attack. And so he went back to the old, like even before the Psalms and into the Scriptures, and he found there was stuff there that would help. And I thank God that we're a church, just for reading like Psalm 150 at the start, that we're a church that kind of digs into those old wells. I encourage you, get into the Psalms, get into some of the stuff that's even way, way old, where the pilgrims have gone before, so helpful. But here's the other thing, look at Psalm 84, it says this. As they press in, they make it a place of springs, but also the autumn rains cover it with pools. There's fresh stuff. There's rain. Oh, I'm so thankful for new stuff, new experiences of touches of God's grace, new songs that I've never heard of that kind of open up a window. And there's something in our worship and our seeking after God that so often songs help us, like this song that was probably a song for the pilgrimage, maybe even sung with others as they went along. Songs kind of help us press on in. And the old songs and the new songs. And you know what? All the stuff we often think of as old songs are really new songs. They were just new in their time. Heard a story this past week of Benjamin Keats, 400 years ago, Baptist pastor. He wanted to write songs for children so they could kind of get into some of the stories of the Bible. Benjamin Keats thought this would be a great idea. They didn't connect with the kind of church music of the time, which was all kind of Church of England chants. And the Church of England actually controlled Christian music in England at that time, 400 years ago. Benjamin Keats thought, well, the kids don't connect with it. Let's try and help them. And he got put in prison for it. But he didn't give up. And others thought, no, we need more than just chants. Chants are great. Maybe we could sometimes do with more chants. But the kids sometimes need the fresh stuff. And not just the kids, maybe others. And so like everything since then, Isaac Watts, Charles Wesley, it's all kind of new. Come out of Matt Redman. Rent Collective. You know, it's really all just picking up on that Benjamin Keats thing of, well, we just need to be able to have some fresh stuff. Boy, I'm thankful for the fresh stuff. Recently I've been really blessed by some fresh things that God's been revealing through some recently written songs and hymns. So I'm really excited the way as a church we try and do that. We press in, we draw from the old, but we receive the new as well. But you know, I want to say lastly here, that as well as longing for it and pressing into it, because sometimes it does just take effort and work and drawing and receiving from others. When you know that God's present, don't rush away. Dwell in it. He says, doesn't he? Well, look, there's these times where this sailor little comment comes in. Remember I said that's kind of pause? Time's just to pause. Again, thanks for that band and Tim, just the way you sometimes lead us in just pausing. It's great to just dwell, listen, and be still. But even this psalmist, he kind of says he wants to kind of linger. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, just kind of hanging around the door. In fact, that's often where the beggars used to be as well. Even if fellas think I'm maybe a beggar, I don't mind. Just want to be close to God, to just dwell there. Hang out there. Why? Because the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He helps us when it feels dark. He brings light. He's amazing. There's nothing like the presence of God. Helps us when it feels dangerous. We feel under threat. He's a shield. He brings his protection. In fact, no good thing does he withhold. Tom Wright speaks of how he was shown this verse as a kind of student and realized that actually now looking back after many years, God's been so true. He's not got everything he wanted. It's not just anything you want. God gives no good thing does he withhold from him whose walk is blameless. Sometimes we don't always get what we want, but God knows what is good for us. He gives us more than we could ever imagine. In fact, he gives us his son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son. What better thing than that do we need? In fact, Paul says, he who did not spare his own son in Romans 8, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? He knows what we really need. He longs to give it to us. Dwell in his presence. Enjoy his gifts. He's the giver of all good gifts, and you can trust him. The Lord God Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Are you trusting him today? I invite you, there's no one better to trust. Nothing better to put your hope in. No one better to seek more of than God Almighty, the one who comes to you to help you. And we're just going to spend some time now just worshiping, just pausing, just enjoying God's presence. And in this time, as we do that, why not just say to God, God, I trust you. And I want to see more of you. I'm going to pray. The band are going to come up and lead us in a time of that. And Lord Jesus, we just want to be in your presence. Lord, as we just take some time now to worship, to seek you, to sing. Lord, help us press in where it's hard, where it's difficult. To remove those things that get in the way, that we might be able to enjoy your presence, to receive from you. And maybe just in this quiet moment, you might just want to say in your heart, God, I trust you. Whatever you're going through, just say, I trust you, God. And I want now in this moment, in this time, to meet with you. Draw near as we draw near to you in Jesus' name. Amen.